Hello, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to athletic performance, body composition, anti-aging, fitness, and nutrition. On side one, Corey will provide a clinical review of articles published in various health and fitness journals, as well as his own personal commentary. He will then be joined by Tracy Hawley to discuss health and fitness issues which pertain to female athletes, mothers, and children. Side 2 includes an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience as a clinician, author, healthcare provider, athlete, or professional in the healthcare and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, August 2002. Last month, I focused on hydration principles, including the use of electrolytes and glycerol. In this month's edition, I want to talk about one of the most important things you can do for your health, and that's taking vitamin C routinely in a liberal and controlled manner. Vitamin C, otherwise known as L-ascorbic acid or 2,3-D-dehydro-L-3-O-hexano-1,4-O-lactone, wow, is a white crystalline powder. Vitamin C is a weak acid that in body fluids dissolves and dissociates into an ascorbate ion and a hydrogen ion. The ascorbate ion is what protects us from scurvy through its influence on the synthesis of the protein collagen. Don't leave home without this valuable nutrient, and don't underestimate its power. Vitamin C is the single most important vitamin for health, but only if utilized in optimum amounts. It's the one that I would choose if I had to choose only one, and it's the one that I would definitely take and the one I always take with me when I travel. Vitamin C helps me tolerate more stress, and it reduces my risk of infection. Vitamin C is involved in cholesterol metabolism, cell respiration, the assimilation of iron, the formation of bones and teeth, blood cells, ligaments, body tissues, and the maintenance of vision. In recent years, researchers have also confirmed that vitamin C is a powerful detoxifying agent, capable of eliminating lead and other poisons from the human biological system. Combined with garlic, milk thistle, and liver extract, vitamin C is a well-known and great tonic for the liver. In addition, vitamin C has been found to counteract the formation of cancer-causing nitrosamines in the gut and in the intestinal tract. Vitamin C promotes elastin and collagen formation. That's the basis of its textural representation. When added to cultured human skin fibroblasts, collagen synthesis increases eightfold, and wound healing is faster. This effect is enhanced by the addition of bioflavonoids, or what Dr. Albert Szentgyorgyi called vitamin P. He's the fellow that discovered vitamin C and vitamin P, P standing for permeability, and vitamin P affects and influences the permeability of capillaries inside the body and throughout the vascular system. All sport injuries should be supported with high-dose vitamin C, and 2 grams of ascorbic acid before and after a workout is known to mitigate the catabolic effect of cortisol. Cortisol rises due to the stress of training and gets in the way of progress if not managed efficiently. Vitamin C added to every pre- and post-workout shake is a great idea. Unlike plants and most animals, except guinea pigs, primates, and a fruit-eating bat, humans cannot manufacture vitamin C endogenously, internally, and therefore must consume it from extraneous or outside sources. Each one of us, in fact, is a slave to vitamin C consumption, without which we would all become scorbutic and eventually die of scurvy. Now here's an interesting tidbit. All the initial attempts to discover the North Pole were hindered by death due to scurvy, as was much exploration throughout the world. Apparently, the English ruled the seas and even conquered nations because they discovered that limes, hence the name limeys, would keep them alive. Ascorbic acid protects us from free radicals, heart disease, and cancer. This is clearly pointed out in Cancer and Vitamin C, a book written by Ewan Cameron and Linus Pauling. Incidentally, over my years in retail and throughout my history in the health industry, I developed several acronyms for consumer understanding and ease of reference. My objective was never to prescribe, treat disease, or counter the advice of any physician. It was only to inform, educate, and direct people to the resources they needed for alternative information. If you take this approach, you never have to pressure anyone to buy, as the facts will speak for themselves. But the acronym that I developed for vitamin C in relation to cancer was the first letter of the word cancer stood for vitamin C. A stood for beta carotene, N niacin, C chlorophyll and the botanical remedy chaparral, E stood for pancreatic enzymes, and R for red clover. And each one of these plant remedies and nutrients has reference in science to its anti-tumor, anti-carcinogenic value. And so this made it easy for people to comprehend and apply based on this simple acronym, which is simply a word form from the initial letters of another word. Vitamin C increases our overall immune response, helps build collagen for healthy ligaments and connective tissue, and promotes healing and the prevention of bruising. Collagen as strong white fibers, as yellow elastic networks called elastin, and in conjunction with macropolysaccharides, constitutes the connective tissue that holds the human body together. Collagen consists of polypeptide chains composed mainly of glycine and hydroxyproline. The body has a continuous need for replacing collagen due to wear and tear, and this wear and tear phenomenon is much greater in the iron pumping, hill sprinting, long distance running athlete. In addition, vitamin C not only serves as a catalyst in the synthesis of collagen, it also gets destroyed. This was a very important discovery for me, and I learned that from speaking directly with Dr. Linus Pauling. Furthermore, vitamin C acts as a natural antihistamine for allergies. In fact, many physicians recommend taking the powder form of vitamin C in doses of 3,000 milligrams or more at a time to counter seasonal environmental allergens such as ragweed and pollen. In this particular case, the effervescent buffered form mixed in water works wonderfully due to immediate absorption. This is something I learned from working with Harlan Lottie, pharmacist and founder of Sisu Enterprises. A deficiency of vitamin C can cause fatigue, receding gums, loose teeth, hemorrhages, and a general breakdown of the connective bonds that hold collagen in the body together. A poor intake of ascorbic acid is especially serious in children because it affects the proper growth of cells in the bones. Vitamin C can be found in all fruits and vegetables, peppers, especially citrus products, cantaloupe, cabbage, potatoes, fresh peas, asparagus, and green vegetables. The best sources include acerola, peppers, guavas, kale, parsley, and collard greens. It's also present in the organs and glands of animals, provided they are consumed raw. Keep this in mind. Vitamin C is destroyed by heat, light, and oxygen. Some of you may be familiar with something called the sugar catch. In a brief update of ubiquinone from the Journal of Orthomolecular Medicine, Volume 15, Number 2, pages 63 to 68, Ellie et al. Report that ascorbic acid cannot enter the cells of hyperglycemic tissues because glucose competitively inhibits its insulin-mediated active transport. Thus, modest hyperglycemia or elevated blood sugar can cause scorbutic conditions throughout the body, including within the surface of blood vessels. This is very important stuff because eating a high carbohydrate, high glycemic, refined carbohydrate diet actually impairs the absorption of vitamin C in the body. thus leading to further degeneration and lowered resistance to disease and infection. Now, according to Bill Phillips, author of the popular Body for Life and the Sports Supplement Review, he says, vitamin C is a tremendously underrated bodybuilding supplement. As research unfolds, it may also have important growth factor-like properties for collagen synthesis and improve the testosterone to cortisol ratio. Other studies offer evidence which suggests that vitamin C may help protect muscles from excessive damage and may help improve contractile tension and thus elevate muscle strength. I think this is a great statement from Bill because vitamin C is definitely underrated. The reason I think it's underrated is because everyone's heard of it and therefore most people take it for granted. Plus, vitamin C doesn't directly cause muscle to grow. But when you come to understand the bottom line of health and healing, especially long-term, you soon realize that vitamin C is a fundamental pillar because it's the key, along with amino acids, to synthesizing new strands of the very fabric of life itself. One heaping teaspoon of calcium ascorbate, which is a non-acidic buffered form of vitamin C, provides about 4,000 milligrams of ascorbic acid and 1,000 milligrams of calcium. I prefer the powder form of vitamin C as it is more soluble, much more cost-effective, and easy to add to my protein shakes. I always add vitamin C to my pre- and my post-workout shakes, and this is something that I highly recommend that you recommend to athletes and apply yourself for your own health benefits. If you want to take it liberally, 18 1,000 milligram capsules are not very practical. That's why I like to use the powder. Also, the surface area exposure of vitamin C in solution is much greater than what a single pill can afford. I take about 3 to 4 teaspoons a day and have for about 16 years now. Keep in mind that I started taking vitamin C at age 17, and over the years, I've increased my dosage in increments. I follow the advice of Pauling, who I truly admired, and will gradually increase my intake as I age to compensate for damage, loss of enzyme function, and loss of organ reserve. When I do use the capsule form for convenience, when I travel, for example, I prefer ester C because it has the vitamin C metabolites and it's easy on the gut. Now get this, vitamin C also mediates the hydroxylation reactions necessary to the formation of L-carnitine, adrenal hormones, and collagen. In the adrenal glands, vitamin C mediates through hydroxylation the conversion of tyrosine to DOPA, which is converted to dopamine, and finally to noradrenaline and adrenaline, our fight or flight hormones. In his timeless must-read classic, How to Live Longer and Feel Better, released in 1986, Linus Pauling states, the optimum intake of vitamin C and of other vitamins and minerals might increase the amount of L-carnitine synthesized from lysine to obviate the need for any supplementary carnitine. The conversion of lysine to carnitine takes place through 5 successive biochemical reactions, each catalyzed by a specific enzyme. The second and fifth of these reactions involve hydroxylation, for which vitamin C is needed. Accordingly, the amount of carnitine that is made in the human body depends on the intake of vitamin C. This explains the fact that sailors who were developing scurvy showed lassitude and muscular weakness as the first signs of their disease, and why Ewan Cameron's debilitated cancer patients in Vale of Leven Hospital said, "But doctor, I now feel so strong." Just a few days after they began their intake of 10 grams of vitamin C per day. I think that there's a lot of muscular weakness out there in athletes due to a deficiency of vitamin C, and I know that my own intake of vitamin C helps keep my muscular system strong and highly functional and tolerant to the impact of sport and physical training. By the way, hydroxylation involves the placing of a hydroxyl group, an OH group, on a compound in a position where one did not exist before. Vitamin C protects other nutrients from oxidation, enhances immune function, and decreases the production of histamine. Humans lack the enzyme in the liver called L-gulonolactone oxidase, which explains why we can die from scurvy. L-gulonolactone oxidase converts glucose into vitamin C, but instead, humans convert glucose into fat or cholesterol, and under stress, it gets even worse. Isn't that a nice gift from Mother Nature? One theory as to why humans are scorbutic today is based on an evolutionary model, in that at one time in our far distant past, we could biosynthesize ascorbate, but because of some sizable cosmic environmental event, our genome, our DNA, was somehow damaged or mutated, and because we had access to food rich in vitamin C, we survived through adaptation and natural selection. Another model suggests that losing the ability to manufacture vitamin C was part of God's curse on man, occurring as a result of Adam and Eve's disobedience to God's law, thus making all of us prone today to age-related degeneration, disease, and scurvy-like symptoms associated with this high, massive endemic of heart disease in North America. When vitamin C is ingested, it is changed into numerous metabolites, each of which has different therapeutic actions and biological properties. First, L-ascorbate, or ascorbic acid, is converted into L-dehydroascorbic acid, and then into diketo-L-gulonic acid, which is then converted into a variety of metabolites in the cell, including oxalic acid, threonic acid, lysonic acid, xylonic acid, and L-xylose. Threonic acid, for example, increases the amount of vitamin C absorbed by the T cells of the immune system. It also greatly enhances the absorption of the ascorbic acid component. A relatively new form of vitamin C called ester C actually contains some of these vitamin C metabolites. Developed by Intercal Corporation in America, ester C is bonded with calcium to produce a mineral ascorbate metabolite complex. Ester C is non-acidic and gentle on the stomach. When regular vitamin C reaches the alkaline environment of the small intestine, it can cause gas, diarrhea, and even inflammation in some individuals, also known as acid rejection syndrome. Taking buffered ester C eliminates this discomfort, and studies with ester C show that the amount of vitamin C in the cell increases up to fourfold. It also enters the bloodstream more quickly, and when compared to pure ascorbic acid, ester C is retained in tissues up to four times longer. Now, ester C costs more than pure ascorbic acid or calcium ascorbate. But I recommend that you look at the data, go to the internet, and spend a little time and decide for yourself whether or not ester C is the best possible choice. But it is something that I think has a lot of value. Horses, dogs, pigs, rabbits, and cats, all these animals convert glucose or blood sugar into vitamin C at a high rate. That's something that you and I can't do. The average of which is equivalent to approximately 10 grams per day when prorated to the weight of an average human being, that being about 70 kilograms or about 154 pounds. In nature, primates, which like us can't make ascorbic acid, obtain about 1.75 grams to 3.5 grams of vitamin C from food sources alone when scaled up to 70 kilograms, compared to our meager 60 to 120 milligrams per day. I think that none of us is getting enough vitamin C from the diet, even if you are eating kale, fresh greens, papaya, and these natural organic sources of vitamin C. Taking the supplement is definitely something you should think about. Guinea pigs need approximately 5 milligrams of vitamin C per 100 grams or 50 milligrams per kilogram of their body weight per day under normal conditions. However, much larger amounts are required under stress, and all animals that are able to synthesize ascorbate when exposed to stressful conditions, and this is without exception, produce double, triple, and even quadruple the amount normally produced under restful conditions. Thus, I recommend as a standard to all athletes 50 to 100 milligrams of vitamin C per kilogram of body weight per day, divided equally in 3 or 4 doses, as the substance is water-soluble. As with all vitamins, like exercise, begin slowly, take your time, and let your body adapt over time. The science shows you can gradually increase the saturation level of blood, improve the concentration of ascorbate in the body's vitamin C pool, including the adrenals, eyes, brain, brainstem, and white blood cells. Vitamin C is incredibly safe. Not a single case of kidney stone formation due to a large intake of vitamin C has ever been reported in the medical literature, yet this myth continues to permeate medical circles and dominate the mindset of many uninformed health practitioners, thus frightening people away from using higher doses. This misconception is apparently based on a single study circulated in medical journals throughout the world, which demonstrated that vitamin C in urine, when heated in a test tube over a Bunsen burner, could be converted through oxidation into oxalic acid, which, as calcium oxalate, is recognized as a component of one class of kidney stones. It is possible that some people might have an increased tendency to form calcium oxalate kidney stones through consuming high doses of ascorbic acid, but this risk can be eliminated through the use of calcium, sodium, zinc, and magnesium ascorbates, all of which neutralize the weak acid of ascorbic acid and alkalize the urine. One side effect worth noting, however, is the looseness of bowels, production of methane gas, and laxative effect of vitamin C when consumed in large amounts. For many seniors and women who struggle with constipation, this is certainly a desirable effect. Simply take a teaspoon after a meal and watch what happens. The bowel tolerance test was designed and perfected over time and trial by orthomolecular physicians as a means of determining individual ideal dose. Start with a relatively small dose, such as 1 gram 3 times daily, and slowly begin to increase the amount per serving over several days until a noticeable looseness of stool is achieved. At this point, cut back by 1 to 2 grams or whatever amount is required to eliminate the gas effect. When infected with a virus, injured, or stressed out, many people can raise their intake of vitamin C up to 10, 20, and 30 grams without any evidence of gas or bowel looseness. Well, that's it for this segment of Sports Nutrition Update. Thanks for listening, and remember what Francis Bacon, the English philosopher, said. In sickness, respect health principally, and in health, action. For those that put their bodies to endure in health may, in most sicknesses, which are not very sharp, be cured only with diet and tendering.